This morning, we are our message this morning is going to be more informal, and we're planning on speaking directly to the kids today. But this is a message that big people need to hear too. In fact, I need to hear it, because even as I was preparing some of these thoughts, I felt convicted by some of the challenges that I'm going to offer this morning. And so I hope all of us will listen in. But first, we have a video that is going to introduce a new product that we are going to be making available to everyone at Aletheia. So just a moment to watch about this new product.
Tired of having to wake up, get dressed, and drive across town just to attend your favorite service? Introducing Virtual Reality Church. Start by choosing a church building that meets your needs. Tired of the stress of having to choose a Sunday morning outfit? Never make a fashion mistake again, because Virtual Reality Church will style you based on your denomination. Not a people person? Select the introvert experience to completely eliminate the welcome team, meet and greet time, connect cards, and that awkward hold hands with the person next to you thing we still do. Next, personalize your morning by choosing the worship experience that you want. Feeling a touch of white guilt? Add a minority worship leader. Custom options even let you tailor the skinniness of your worship leader's jeans. Finally, no more having to endure songs that you don't like. With Virtual Reality Church, you're in charge. For the sermon, choose the amount of conviction you'd like, and we'll select a pastor for you. We'll even let you tailor your sermon topics so you'll never have to attend a Vision Sunday or a sermon series on giving. And never worry again about dozing off during the sermon. With Virtual Reality Church, you can sleep as long as you want. Kids being bad in nursery? Who cares? Worried about missing a football game? Enter your favorite team and we'll provide notifications when the game is starting. Never miss a kickoff again. Want to go forth for prayer? Well, if you selected a Pentecostal service, always stand in front of the mattress. Even connect your social media accounts and we'll post for you. Get credit for being super spiritual all from the comfort of your couch. Finally, an option for people asking the question, how can I make Sunday morning even more about me? Virtual Reality Church, the future of church attendance.
Okay, $99.99 and $15 a month to subscribe. I think it would actually sell. I don't know. Could you hear the audio? It was, seemed a little echoey from up here. But this morning, kids, we're going to talk to you about how to make the very most of your time with church family. Now, this would apply to anything we do. If we're having a picnic, if we're having, you know, Young Bucks, Fair Maidens, whatever it is, life groups. But we're going to primarily focus on Sunday mornings. And one of the reasons for this, I want you to think about this. In the early church, they got together, in Acts it says they got together every day. And the church was always with each other. They were doing life together. But we in the West, in America, we get together once or twice a week. And so when we do, we really need to make the most of our time together. And that all starts with an attitude in our minds. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But I think that most of us are aware, at least kids, your parents know this, and you're maybe starting to see this too, that we're all kind of programmed to think about ourselves, aren't we? Have you noticed that? That we, it's not just the sin in our hearts, but it's also kind of the world we live in, our culture, our surroundings sort of tell us that we're supposed to think about ourselves. When I was in college, I think about this story. I used to work at a camp, a Christian camp, and we had hundreds of kids there. And we would do these cookouts. And every time we did a cookout, and we'd say, now we have everything you need to make s'mores, but we only have so many roasting sticks. You say the word s'mores to kids whose parents are 50 miles away and get out of the way. And especially when they have sharp objects. And I would always have to remind them, don't run, don't race. Why did I have to tell them, don't run? You know? Why did I have to tell them that? They were all thinking, I want to be the first in line. I want to be the first one to get a s'more, right? And my fear was always that you know, with those pokers, I'd see some kid walking around with some other kid's eyeballs on him. So we're always, you know, don't run, don't race. Here's what I never saw. I never said, kids, we've got all the stuff to make s'mores here, and so go ahead and hop in line. And I never saw kids standing around going, why don't you go first? Oh, no, no, you go first. I insist. Oh, no, no, I wouldn't have it that way. I insist. Now, maybe some would be that way, but we're just programmed to think of ourselves, aren't we? So we hear the word s'mores, and we're racing, right? That's just kind of how it is. And I think there are two ways that selfishness manifests. The first one is a lot of times I'm looking how to accommodate myself. I'm trying to accommodate myself. But the other thing is I expect others to accommodate me. And so those two things are kind of working. And I think most of your parents would say that they feel that way too. If I go to a store, look, I better not, you know, I can't stand it when people put their carts right in the middle of the aisle. I better not find that. You know, stay out of my way. If I go to the theater like I did last night, this guy next to me, you better not be spilling that popcorn on me or eating too loud or whatever. You know, I go to a ball game, I better have a good seat. I better like my surroundings. That's who we are because of sin and because that's the expectation. Now, I do that, and then I go to church, and I arrive, and I say, how can I help? What can I do? How can I serve others? Boy, I hope that the sign-up for the cookies isn't all filled out, because I want to help out. I'm looking for somebody to pray with. I'm looking for somebody to pray for. I'm looking for somebody to thank. I'm looking for someone to encourage. You see, it occurred to me this week, I had this thought, maybe for the first time. If I go to Aldi and say, boy, I have to have the best parking spot. Oh, that guy, that jerk, he just got in my way. He just pulled in front of me and I wanted that spot. If that's how I live throughout the week, or if when I'm at home, somebody talks to me and says, could you get me this? And I just sat down and I was comfortable and I'm upset. I'm actually training myself not to make the most of my time with brothers and sisters because I'm reinforcing that selfish sinfulness that's inside of me. And I would say the same to you, kids. If dad brings home pizza and you push your little brother or your little sister out of the way because you have to be first, you're actually training yourself not to make the most of your time when you're with the family of God. Paul wrote a couple letters to the Corinthians, as you know, and that was one of the earliest letters in the New Testament. Paul wrote to these believers, and they had all kinds of problems in the church. You may remember we studied the book of 1 Corinthians. But one of the problems that they had, they were very immature, they were very selfish, but thankfully, they knew that God had given them gifts to use. The problem is, they seem to have forgotten why the Holy Spirit even gave them those gifts. And so Paul wrote to them and he said, what shall we say, brothers, when you come together, when you gather, that is, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And the problem is, they weren't letting other people go. They were just doing their own thing for their own pleasure. And Paul said, all of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. And so we see the purpose of, maybe you've asked yourself that question before, why do mom and dad take me to church on a Sunday? And some people say it's to worship God. But if you look at the New Testament says we gather together to build each other up, to strengthen each other. Paul had written to them earlier. He said, try to excel in the gifts that what? Worship God? No, try to excel in the gifts that build up the church. He says, make every effort to do what leads to mutual edification. And so, kids, you've got a job when you come here on a Sunday morning. You may not think of it this way, but your job is to build other people up. You can do that by smiling at someone and greeting them. You can do that by encouraging your friends. But your job, even you might think, well, I'm only 6 or I'm only 10. No, your job is to build others up, to mutually edify the church, okay? And so we have to get that into our minds. And I would say, even when it comes to, I'm not going to make a big deal about this, but I think you've heard me say before, when we use the language worship service, I think we kind of hide a little bit of why we're supposed to be here. The Bible doesn't use that phrase, worship service. We're supposed to worship all the time. We're supposed to give God glory all the time. Kids, you were supposed to be worshiping when you got up this morning. And when you leave today, you're supposed to be worshiping. Your whole life is a worship service. So what are we doing when we get together? We're building each other up. That's what Paul says. Not just to the Corinthians, but to the Galatians. He especially says it to the Ephesians. He says to the Ephesians, every word that comes out of your mouth should be for building other people up. Okay, so with that introduction, I'm going to let Pastor Phil talk about what we do specifically on Sunday mornings. We're both going to kind of share that a little bit this morning. But if we want to please our Savior, okay, kids, when we come together, if we want to please the one who died for us, we have to have this attitude. It's really not about me. It's not about me when I come here. It's about others. Okay? So I'm going to let Pastor Phil.
All right. We're going to go through kind of a Sunday morning and just give you some kind of practical things, things to think about. Making the most of your time on a Sunday morning. And so the first point here is that it starts on Saturday night. It starts on Saturday night. And just a couple principles here for you. And kids, you can listen up here. First is you make time for things that are important to you. You make time for things that are important to you. And if you in the normal course of your week, let's say I always have something Tuesday night. But then on Tuesday night, it's Jonah's birthday. I'm going to clear whatever else I had on Tuesday night because his birthday is important to me because he's my son, right? So you make time for what's important to you, and that's just a general principle of life. If something really is important to you, you'll make sure you're part of it. So one thing I think we need to do on Saturday nights or even, you know, throughout the week is Sunday morning is important to me. It's a unique, special time with my church family, and it's gotta be a priority. So I'm gonna make sure I've got time for it. Just like I'd clear my schedule to be at my son's birthday party or whatever other special event, I'm gonna do my best to clear my schedule so I can be with my church family on Sundays. Another principle is that you prepare for things that are important to you. You prepare for things that are important to you. So if you're going on a vacation, you're going to be planning your route and where you're going to stay and what you're going to eat. If you're getting ready for work the next day or school the next day, you're going to make sure your clothes are ready and your homework is ready. And, you know, you're all ready to go so that you can leave on time and be there ready to go. And I think being with your church family is just the same kind of thing. I want to prepare on Saturday night so that I can make the most of Sunday morning. And I'll just confess, there have been times on Saturday night where I stay up too late, or I'm eating junk food, or I'm watching a football game that maybe I don't even care about, and I stay up late, and I'm kind of groggy the next morning. And it really does. When we're tired, we get really self-focused, you know. You know the Snickers commercial, you know, hungry, eat a Snickers. I think it's the same thing when you're tired. You start acting like a diva. And when you're tired, you kind of expect everybody else to, you know, treat me like royalty or something like that. And it's all about me. And all I can think about is when I can go get a nap or something like that. Instead of thinking, how can I serve people? How can I be here to encourage? How can I be here to encourage my brothers and sisters and serve them? Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So our goal in meeting together is to encourage one another. And to encourage one another, we've got to plan for that. We've got to make time for that, right? And we've got to not be so tired and groggy that we're yawning and can't stay awake. The goal is not just to make it through Sunday morning. We're not punching a clock, a time card or something. We're not just trying to make it through and, you know, put in our hourly duty on Sunday morning or something like that. Instead, the goal is to be here and to really be here and to be here for our brothers and sisters. And so if you can, on Saturday night, I think this is an area where moms and dads are going to have to lead to make sure that you get to bed on time and that your kids get to bed on time so you're able to be here and alert. And so you're able to be here early, not that you have to be here an hour early, but you want to be here early so that you can really invest in your brothers and sisters in Christ and maybe stick around late or one or the other, whatever works best for your family. But you want to have that relationship time. On sometimes during the week before Sunday, we'll send out what passage we're going to be studying. And that would be a great thing to do as a family. Or even if you don't know the passage, to study something else. And hey, guys, remember that we're going to church tomorrow and it's not about us. We're not going to Chuck E. Cheese. We go to Chuck E. Cheese when it's about us. We're going to church, our church family. We're going to worship God, and we're going to serve our brothers and sisters. And so just to refocus as a family and prepare to do that, I think, is really important. So it starts Saturday night.
Thanks, Phil. And as Phil said, go to bed early enough that you can get up early on a Sunday morning. If it's something you're excited about and you should be excited about gathering with the people of God, I actually I just had a text exchange from somebody that I met years ago, and we reconnected this week. And this morning he texted me and said, thanks again for that conversation. So I texted him back and I said, you know, great, that was wonderful, and I hope you have a great day meeting with God's people. And he texted me back this morning, and this, I thought, man, this just goes right along with our sermon. He said, I always do. He said, it's the closest thing to heaven on earth, meeting with God's people. And so if you knew you were going to heaven tomorrow, do you think you'd get up 5 minutes early? You would get up early. You'd be excited. So go to bed early, get up early, get up and pray. God, I'm meeting with your people today. I want to make the most of that time. Not only I want to have a servant attitude, but Lord, help us all. Help us to listen to the sermon and pray for whoever's preaching, that they'll bring the word faithfully. Pray that those who are hurting will be encouraged. Pray. Get up and pray about the meeting that you're going to have. Another thing I would say, be right in your relationships before you come here. Kids, if you're fighting with your brother or sister on Sunday morning, do you think that puts you in the right frame of mind to come and serve your church family? What do you think? How many parents here would say, you've come in here before and you've had to force a smile because you had really crappy relationship stuff going on that morning at home with your family? Anybody besides me? Okay. Boy, so maybe it just starts with my relationships at home. You know, get right before, and some of you are looking at each other like, I don't know what happened at home today. But so be right in your relationships. Get here on time. And kids, you can help your parents. If you're ready early, then your parents aren't waiting on you. But I would also say this, kids. Here's a great way to get ready to come here and serve your church family. Get ready early enough that you can say to your mom and dad, hey, is there something I can do to help this morning? Wouldn't that be great? And that'll help you get here on time, too. Anything you want to add to that, Phil?
Okay, we're going to go on to the next part here. Visiting time on Sunday morning. So this is just the unstructured time. This is before and after and during the greeting time. Just want to get you to think about two different scenarios. When you go out to a restaurant, you expect to be served, right? You expect the waiter to come to your table and ask what you want to bring the food out in a timely manner, to refill your drink and clean up your spills and that kind of thing. You expect to be waited on. Second scenario is you're having guests over to your house. You're having guests over to your house. Are you expecting to be waited on then? No, you're anticipating that you're going to be doing the serving, right? You're going to be at the door to greet your guests and welcoming them in, making sure they're comfortable, making sure they have what they need, if the food's just right and that kind of thing, and being deliberate about asking them questions and being involved in their lives and being a good host. And we expect our kids to be a part of that too. You know, if we're getting ready for guests, we're going to have the kids clean up their toys, help clean up the house, and that kind of thing. So which of those, going to the restaurant or having guests in your home, which should Sunday morning be more like? And I'm going to say, if you're a member of your church, and you should be a member of your church, if you're a Christian, you should be a member of a local church. If you're a member of Aletheia, it should be more, Sunday morning should be more like hosting guests than going to a restaurant to be served. And kids, I want you to think about that. You know, if you've helped your parents get ready for a meal when you're having guests over, if your parents say, "Hey, can you clean up the living room because, you know, we've got people coming over," you would want to do that, right? Same thing here. When we walk in on a Sunday morning, even though it's not your house where you live, it's still kind of like this is our, as a church family, this is our house. This is our building. It's God's building, but it's the Aletheia family's building. It's not the pastor's building, or it's not the building committee's building. It's our family building. And so I want to have that mentality of I'm a host here. And so anybody that comes in that's not familiar to me, that's a visitor, or maybe somebody that I've seen a couple times, but I don't really know them, I want to welcome them like I would welcome a guest into my home. I'm not expecting to be waited on and served like at a restaurant. I'm here to be a blessing. I'm here to serve. And so I just encourage you, you know, a couple practical things then, you know, at your house, if you're there and you've got guests in the home and you see a mess, you clean it up. I've been blessed to see that here on Sunday morning. Sometimes there's a mess either out by the food table or in the restroom, and I see somebody, they're not getting paid to do it. They're just, hey, there's something that needs to be done, and I'm going to do it. I'm part of the family, so I'm going to do it. Or if I see somebody's kid run around, it's not my kid, I'm going to help steer away from trouble that could be caused or whatever, because I'm part of the family and I'm ready to do something about that. There's toilet paper out in the bathroom. I'm going to make sure that that gets filled, because that's part of my role as a host. So again, the whole
role.
What did I say?
Your role.
Part of my role?
Yeah.
Oh, my role.
Yeah.
Toilet paper roll. Got it. Just now, finally. Thank you. A little slow there. Thank you for the help. So the phrase, and just it's so hard. I mean, for all of us, for me, it's like to burn into my brain. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's not about me. I just need to learn that and relearn it and rehammer that home. It's not about me getting my way, being waited on. How can I come on a Sunday morning and just be available? So during this unstructured time where we're not, you know, all doing the same thing, how can I look for these opportunities to do the biblical one another's? How can I love people? How can I encourage a brother or sister? How can I serve them? And I just encourage you to maybe go a little deeper. I catch myself getting into shallow conversations, and I don't want to be like that. I try to go a little bit deeper. And some people don't want to go deep, and so you have to, you know, go where people are willing to go, I guess. But to try to push those conversations a little deeper than just, hey, what'd you do this weekend? If you just think about just two questions that you could ask. One question is, what have you been up to lately? Okay, fairly common question. But notice that the answer to that, what have you been up to lately, is going to be very kind of factual, dry. Here are the activities I've been engaged in. Another question would be maybe a little better because it's more open-ended, and that's, how's life? How's life? Because then it's more open-ended. The person could answer just by telling you what they've been up to lately. But it also could open up, hey, I'm really struggling, you know, or they could tell you more about how things are going for them emotionally. So anyway, I think that's something that we want to become better at, you know, like practice will be valuable here. How can I, with just the questions I ask on a Sunday morning, how can I take relationships deeper? A couple other just encouragements for that unstructured time on Sunday mornings. So be available. Be here. Again, if you can be here a little early or stay a little bit late so that you're available for that relationship time. Be mobile. Don't just stick around in your same spot. It's funny, we don't have assigned seats, but everybody kind of gravitates to their own seat every week. And it's easy to kind of stay put there. Branch out a little bit, because there's other people that are brothers and sisters in your own church family, and you want to get to know them and meet them. And if there are visitors, we want to reach out to them. We don't want to smother them, but we do want to reach out to them. And you can't do that if you just kind of come and, you know, plant in one spot for the whole morning. So be mobile, be available. Be looking for visitors. Be looking for somebody that might need some encouragement. Maybe somebody that you've seen in an email needed prayer for this or that. Go look for them on a Sunday morning. How are things going? Do you still need prayer? What's going on? Again, the goal is to get out of your comfort zone, to get out of your clique, and really do what God has asked us to do, and that's to build each other up. So, all right, I think I'm going to the next part too, and that is when we gather all together. The singing time. So first, let's talk about the singing. And again, it's not about me. So like this morning, that song, that last one, Come Thou Fount. I love that song. I thought they did it really well. But I've got to remind myself when I come into church, to a church gathering, it's not about me. So it's not about what I like, even though I really like that song and I like the way it sounded. It's not about me. And so I shouldn't like demand, like I should have every song like that. I should have all the, you know, just like the video, like kind of picking your favorite songs for the worship experience. You know, the most important thing for me while I'm singing is to be glorifying God and to be considerate of my brothers and sisters who are around me. So worship, the word worship means to declare the worth of something, to declare the worth of something. So when we sing, we are declaring God's worth to each other. We're telling each other, this is how great God is. And so how much more important when we're singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, how much more important for me, instead of thinking, I like the song, or man, those voices sound really good, or I love how Chris is doing that guitar part. How much more important is it for me to say, to be, in my mind, to be thinking, yes, God is the fount of every blessing in my life. He has been so good to me. I don't deserve any of it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's my Lord. He's my King. You know, to be thinking worshipful thoughts towards God, to be in wonder and awe of Him. And again, it's just so easy to kind of slip out of that. It really takes a kind of deliberate act of your will to make sure, am I focused on the right things? So I want to be focused on God. And I think our singing should reflect the worth of God. So there's a difference in the way we sing worship songs to God and the way we sing, happy birthday at a birthday party or something. There should be an enthusiasm, a zeal, a passion. And so what does it say about our thoughts about God if we're singing and we're kind of bored or yawning or slouching or, you know, kind of singing quietly or something like that? I think when we're singing, there should be volume. There should be zeal. There are no rules at Aletheia about, like, you can't raise your hands. Okay, is that clear? Nobody? There are no rules about no raising hands. We want you to be into it, not because, again, not because it's a concert, but because God is worthy of that kind of exuberant expression of joy. So we want to be joyful in the Lord as we sing together, focusing on the words, the meaning of the songs, and how it points us to God and His character and His greatness. And we want to be considerate of others. So there's kind of this balance. We want to be jubilant in our expression, passionate about our worship, but also considerate of others. So we don't have any danger of that right now. Nobody's dancing in the aisles and being a distraction. I suppose we'd have to address that if it ever happened. So we want to be considerate of others, but we can let loose and really be joyful in the Lord as we sing.
Thank you, Phil. So many thoughts come to mind just so many things that I wanted to amen there. But, you know, think about it this way. If you're supposed to, and Paul wrote to the Ephesians, teach one another as you sing songs and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're actually, even in our singing, we're supposed to have each other in mind. And if I'm just, calm down, am I an encouragement to anyone if I'm doing that? Not to mention, you know, here's my Savior who died for me. I want to sing. I want those people that live over there to hear our church. We are so excited about what Jesus did for us. And when you sing and when you are enthusiastic, you are an encouragement to everyone around you. And so we should see that. You know, and kids, this is something, once again, we live in this culture now where, and I know this because I read some of this stuff, the people who are the experts are telling pastors how to get as many people into their churches as they can. And they'll say, here's how you get people into your churches. Well, you don't have a boring wall like this back here. You have to have blue lights and green lights. And you have to have, you know, smoke coming up out of the floor. And you have to have all these bells and whistles and bring as many people in as you can. But then if you give them a message that's kind of hard to hear, then they'll leave. So you can't customize like the virtual church. You can't customize the level of conviction. So just kind of keep it real, you know, basic for everybody, because the point is for everybody to get what they're looking for. And that's the whole wrong. That's not why Jesus saved us. You know that? We sometimes think, oh, Jesus saved me to keep me from going to hell. And we think about what he saved us from, but we forget what he saved us to. He saved us to relationship. Kids, do you know that the most important things in life, not just to me or to your parents, but the most important things in life are your own relationships? You know that? You're not going to remember. You probably don't remember what you got for Christmas. Some of you might. But you know your parents, you know your siblings, you know your friends, you know your loved ones. And so God saved us to a relationship with each other and with him. The Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, existed from all eternity in perfect relationship. And he basically said, I want these people to experience that. But because of sin, we ruined it. We put up walls between ourselves and other people. And so Jesus came to bring it back, to put us back in relationship with God and with each other. And if we forget that and we think it's about us, we're going to miss everything. Do you hear what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And so this isn't about me. It's not about what I want. It's about the whole family of God. And then Jesus said this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. Not if you pack a building full of 10,000 people who come to worship me. No, by this they will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. If they see in the church the quality of relationships that they can't explain, because the world doesn't offer that, that's when they'll know. And so relationships, if we go into relationships thinking it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. I always tell people who are getting ready to get married, you know, Jonas and Olivia getting ready to get married in July. I always tell them, you want to wreck your marriage from the beginning? Go into it thinking that person needs to make me happy. That person needs to satisfy me. That person needs to meet my needs. Both people doing that, boy, it's going to be hard. But if both people go in thinking, my job is to serve this other person and love this other person, that's going to be a beautiful marriage. Same way in the church. Okay? Let's talk about prayer time. When we're praying on a Sunday morning and somebody comes up, this morning it was Bill. If we're going to make the most of that time, we need to know that this you aren't a you're not an observer when we pray on Sunday mornings. You are a participant. We are all praying together. And the point is to express our unity in Christ by being having one mind. And so, kids, I really urge you, just like you should be thinking about the songs that we sing, you should be thinking about those words. Whoever's praying up here, do you know you're praying those words too? If Bill comes up and Mr. Sweeterman prays, Lord, help our brothers and sisters in India, that's not his prayer. That's all of our prayer. And so every one of us should be in our minds saying, amen. Yes, Lord, help them. In fact, say it out loud. That's okay. Just like you can say that when we're singing, you can say amen at the end, and you should. You can say that out loud when we're praying. In fact, that might encourage someone that's standing next to you. Okay, so don't think that this is something I'm listening to or observing. I'm participating. When somebody prays up here, that's for all of us because we're one body. Does that make sense? Let's talk about the sermon time. How do I make the most of the sermon time? First of all, kids, I'd love to see you guys bringing your Bibles to church. I think that would be great. Some of you might have a phone or a device and you've got your Bible app. That's okay, too. But what I would say is make sure that you're not doing like playing games or texting or whatever. You shouldn't be doing that on a Sunday morning. But bring your Bibles. Another thing I would say is sit up and pay attention. Because it's not because, oh, Pastor Sean or Pastor Phil, you should listen to them. They deserve respect. No, you should respect the Word of God. So you should be sitting up. You should be paying attention. You should get enough sleep the night before that you're awake. You should take notes. I'm not saying everybody has to take notes. Some people say, I'm just not a note taker. That's fine. That's not how I learn. Okay. But some of you ought to be taking notes. Okay. The test. Did you take notes in college, parents? I bet you took notes because you had a test coming up. The test here isn't that we're going to pass out a quiz the next week, although maybe we should some Sunday. The test is how you live your life during the week. And if you take notes, you can refer back to it and say, here's what it says in the Word of God. I want to live that out. Study the section ahead of time. By the way, too, let me say this. You're allowed to say amen during a sermon. Did you know that? This isn't some dry lecture. If you agree with something and you think, man, I hope people are listening to that, paying attention. You can say amen. That might encourage someone sitting next to you. Okay. I'm okay with that. You guys are laughing. I don't know. I'm not talking about what you've seen on TV or whatever. I'm just saying there can be a little bit of that. Okay. You can nod. You can be interactive a little bit.
Preaching, brother. Preaching.
Yeah. There you go. All right. somebody's putting it into practice right now. I want to say this too. When you come on a Sunday morning, it should be your prayer. God, when the message is preached, whether it's Sean or Phil or Bill or whoever or Terry or maybe it's Adam or Jason, Andrew, whoever's bringing the word. God, I don't just want to learn information. I know that's good. That's important. I want to learn information, but that's not where I wanted to stop. I want to apply what I learn. And I'll never do that, God, if I'm not humble before you. If I don't come anticipating that the Holy Spirit is going to convict me through the message of the word, then it's just information. Joseph Stalin could pass a Bible quiz. The test is how we live it out. If we're not humble, we won't. Okay? So I hope that when you're listening to a sermon, you know, and sometimes I've heard people say this to me. They'll say, and this happened a couple times where I felt like that was directed at me. And my reply to that is, oh, it probably was. Now, not that I was thinking about you, because I almost never think about it. I just try to apply the word. But if you felt convicted, then it was probably directed at you. Now, take that up with the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to sit here and think, oh, you know, Jerry Stoner really needs to hear this. How can I work this in? I'll preach on this passage because I want to. No, I'll go talk to Jerry one-on-one. Okay? We'll preach the word. But if you're feeling convicted, know that I'm not trying to talk to you individually through the message and disguise it as a sermon. If you're feeling convicted, don't get upset with me. Say, Lord, thank you that applies to me. Now give me the strength to be obedient. Don't tune out. Kids, sometimes you're going to say, I don't understand this. Pastor Sean is using a big word or whatever. I'll tell you what, write that word down and ask your parents later what it means. Don't tune out, okay? And the same thing with all of us. You know, sometimes we think, you know, oh, the message, the pastor was talking about singleness, so I went ahead and I put together my fantasy football league, and that's why I sit in the back row. You know, no, if the pastor's talking about singleness, it applies to you, even if you're married. You know why? Because you know single people, and you need to encourage them because it's not about you. Okay? Phil, what did I miss here? Oh, let me say this. I want to talk to parents real quick. How do you make the most out of a Sunday morning? Out of the sermon time? Some of you think that if my baby is crying, I have to rush out right away and get him out of here. I would say to you, we're a family. We can put up with some of that, okay? If there's like major screaming, then yeah, jump on out. And kids, don't be a distraction, okay? Don't be a distraction. It's 30, 40 minutes of your week. You can sit there. You can pay attention. You can listen, okay? Try not to be a distraction to other people. It's 55 minutes if Phil is preaching. But if me, it's 35. Okay, go ahead.
I think people can check their record for themselves. I'm not. There's the warning in the New Testament about, you know, people who were wanting their ears tickled, and they were led astray by false teaching, by heretical teaching, and I wonder if that maybe started kind of innocent enough. Like I just want a feel good kind of message at church, and that desire to have our ears tickled. I just think that's something that we all need to be on guard against, not just for heretical teaching, but just that selfish motive of I want to hear the songs I like, and I want to hear, you know, nice shallow conversation in the foyer, and I want to hear a sermon that just kind of tickles my ears. I think that's something we need to be on guard against. Okay, we're on number 4, leaving and lunch. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this, but for leaving and lunch, just again invite people to stick around. We do really want you to consider doing that. We know that there are times you got to get out for something, and going to lunch, it's like you're gonna eat lunch anyway, and so why not ask your brother or sister to join you either at your house or to go out to a meal. It doesn't have to be fancy. And branch out a little bit. Maybe you find a visitor that day or somebody you haven't gotten together with in a while. It's easy to get our little bubble, get our little click kind of thing. But just, again, encourage you to invite somebody out. And then what we try to do as a family is at some point, hey, what did you think? What did you hear in the sermon today? What did you learn? And kind of debrief a little bit. That's a great thing to do over lunch, especially if you're out with some brothers and sisters in Christ. So.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. And I was actually going to say that about Sunday evenings. To make the most out of your Sunday means that you carry it into the evening and even into the week. A lot of times on Sunday nights, instead of doing our normal Bible study that we do through the week, we just as a family talk about, well, what jumped out at you at the about the sermon this morning? What do you remember? And that leads to some really good discussion time as a family. And sometimes I'll ask my kids, who did you encourage today? Who did you talk to that's not your friend? Take your Sunday morning and parents, turn it into an opportunity to process that later in the evening. I think that's a good thing. Just to summarize, you are going to honor the Lord. You are going to please the Lord if you come into Sunday morning with the attitude, this isn't about me. This is about everybody else. That's how you're going to honor the Lord. Big people and small people, serving each other, looking out for each other. Be easy to please, be eager to serve.
Cool. And I'll just, my last little part here, I just encourage you, if you do make it about yourself, realize that you're missing out. You know, the world is telling you, if you make life about yourself, that's actually how you get the fulfilled life. Jesus said it's when you lay your life down for him and for others, that's when you find real life. So if you make life in general or Sunday morning about you, you're just going to be missing out. You're going to be disappointed because well, it's not about, and we're not going to make it about, you know, any one person and getting their way. We're going to make it about Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. So you're going to be disappointed if you make it about yourself. You're going to be missing out on the blessing. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So if you make it about yourself and you're all only focused on taking and receiving, you're actually going to be missing the blessing of being used and being a servant. And if you make it about yourself, God's not going to be magnified and the church is not going to be built up. And so what a tragedy. Look, we're going to spend, if you're committed to Jesus Christ, you're going to be at a church building with a church family on Sunday morning, hopefully just about every Sunday for the rest of your life. That's going to add up. Why not make the most of that time, right? I mean, it really does. It will add up. And so I want to be kind of moving in the direction of, I want to maximize my times on Sunday mornings, not for my own personal immediate pleasure, but to glorify God, to be humble in receiving the word and being shaped by it, and to be used in serving my neighbor and serving my brother and sister in Christ. I want to be a good steward of my time on Sunday mornings. So,
thank you. Kids, some of you have played team sports. Some of you are just a little young yet, although some of our young kids have played team sports, have played hockey. But raise your hand if you've been on a team before. Okay, wow, a lot of us. Okay, so think about it like this, kids. Think about your hockey team or your basketball team or your track team. And a good way to measure your own self, your own performance, is to ask this question. How would our team do if everybody on the team put forth the same effort that I'm putting forth? What would the team look like? Would we be 1-10 or would we be 10-1? Sometimes, like, when I'm tempted to throw, like, maybe something out my window when I'm driving down the road, a little bit of litter or something. Think about this. What would the roads, we drive down the roads, and sometimes you've been down the road, and it's like, man, where'd all this trash come from? Okay? What would the roads look like if everybody did what you do with the McDonald's bag? Okay? Would our roads be really nice and clean, or would they be really, and man, I don't want to be the one that's contributing to the problem. I want to be the one who's contributing to the beauty. You see what I mean? Your parents could ask this question about the workplace. If everybody in the workplace put the same kind of commitment and effort into this company that I am putting forth, what would the company even be around in a year? Or would they have to expand because it's going so well? And this is my challenge to all of us. Ask yourself, what would Aletheia look like if everybody was doing what I was doing? Think about it like if everybody was using their precious words, the tongue that God gave me to speak words to edify others, if everyone was using their words the way that I'm using the words, would this just be a big gossip house? Or would this be a place where people were built up and encouraged? If everybody approached ministry the way that I approach ministry, you know, there are times when we'll put out a request, and I know that the first three replies I'm going to get are the same three people every time. Because they're already doing eight things. But they're eager to serve. And I'll be honest. Can I just be honest? This is a family, right? I sent out a request about coffee this week. Nobody replied. Now, oh man, the pastor beat up on us today. No, I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest, folks. Now, here's what I think happens sometimes. I think what happens is we think, oh, somebody will do that. I know that eight people are going to reply, and they're going to have 13 people doing coffee, and I don't need to. Okay, I get that. And some of you didn't reply because you're doing 8 things already, and that's awesome. And I don't sit there and think, oh, why didn't this person reply to my request to do coffee? I don't think that way, but I know somebody should have. Okay? What if ministry, what if everybody took your approach to ministry, your involvement, your commitment, your eagerness to serve, and that was everybody? Would we have cookies there this morning? Would the place be clean? Would the bathrooms be clean? Would we have people doing music here? Okay? It's just something to think about, something to measure. And if you think, man, that ticks me off that he even said that, then, hey, let's take that up with the Lord, okay? Because some of you I'm clearly not talking to. And I'm only talking to the ones that the Holy Spirit would convict on that. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm just asking you to think about that and apply that across the board. This is not about me. This is about God's glory. This is about the most incredible institution on earth, the church. It's amazing that Paul would write that God is showing the heavenly realms something about Jesus through the church. He's revealing himself through the church. Boy, what if we took that seriously? What would it tell the whole world and the angels about God when they look at our church? Man, I want to be on the side that's, okay, let me pour myself out for that. Does that make sense? It's not about me. And kids, I want you to hear me. Young people, everywhere you go, somebody's trying to sell you something. Everywhere you go, somebody wants you to buy their phone or to wear their logo or to buy this or go there or spend your money here or there. Everywhere you go, you're getting this message. It's about you. It's about you. It's about you. And like Pastor Phil said, Jesus' way is it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we have got to reject that. We've got to reject it in our homes. We've got to reject it in all our relationships. And we especially have to reject that in the church, because we can't embrace the truth and the beauty if we embrace the lies, that it's about me. And so I hope that everybody here, because you have my word that I will think about these words. I will think about my own attitude and where I'm falling short, because I guarantee you I am. There are some areas I need to fix, okay? Could I ask, as your pastor who loves you, could I ask that we all ask this question? Have I had this attitude that this is about me? Lord, will you show me? Will you show me?